Welcome to the Lenten podcast series brought to you by epostle.net. We're so glad you've decided to take this 40-day journey with us. This season, we'll be focusing on the Bazarak. Each podcast will delve into a particular aspect of the divine liturgy. As a listener, you can use these daily messages to meditate on the spiritual significance of the liturgy throughout the week. We hope each podcast provides you with the spiritual nourishment for the soul during your travel through the Lenten season. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission.
In procession, the priest with the deacons and acolytes ascends to the altar area. The altar is adorned with candles and flowers. At the center of the table is a consecrated area on which the Eucharist is prepared. When the Divine Liturgy is celebrated in non-consecrated structures or outdoors, there is a special celebratory consecrated cross stone, or vemkar, which is placed on a table as a foundation for the chalice. In rare instances where a consecrated area or vemkar is not available, the gospel book is used. The curtain is drawn, and the choir sings the appropriate hymn of the day. The next portion of the service happens behind the curtain. Let's focus on the concealed event taking place here. The candles on the altar are now lit. The physical needs of the altar are tended to. In the early church, this is when and where the people would bring their offering for the common meal. Today, the only elements necessary are the bread and the wine. On behalf of the people, the deacon approaches the priest with the bread in his or her hand. In the Armenian Orthodox tradition, this is unleavened bread, prepared with flour and water alone. The priest takes a portion of the bread to be consecrated for the Holy Eucharist. This portion is known as the nushchar, or the wafer. The remaining bread stays up at the altar area. It is not consecrated, but receives the blessing of the liturgy. This is what is known as mas, or a portion, and is distributed at the end of the service to those who did not participate in the Holy Eucharist. The priest places the bread on a small plate or paten and remembers that our Lord Jesus Christ is seated on the throne not made with hands and that he accepted the death of the cross for humankind. Next, he pours the wine into the cup or the chalice in remembrance of the redeeming economy of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Through the fountain of whose blood flowing from his side, all creatures have been renewed and made immortal. Listen to the poetry here. The wine is poured, and we remember the fountain of Christ's blood pouring. The bread is placed on the plate, and we remember Christ being placed on that throne not made with hands. It is here that the priest offers a very special prayer of St. John Bosco Peron, or Chrysostom, which, like a key, opens the door to the mystery of this holy sacrament. O Lord our God, who did send our Lord Jesus Christ, the heavenly bread, the food of the whole world, to be Savior and Redeemer and Benefactor, and to bless and to sanctify us. Bless now, O Lord, also this presentation. Receive this upon your heavenly altar. Be mindful, beneficent, and lover of humankind, both of those who offer it and of those for whom it is offered, and keep us without condemnation in the priestly ministry of your divine mysteries. For holy and glorious is the most honorable majesty of the glory of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Psalm 93 is now recited as a reminder of the holiness of this moment and the sacrament. The chalice with wine and the bread sitting on top of it on the plate are now covered with an ornamental cloth and moved over to the side altar. The priest, with censer in one hand and a cross in the other, begins censing the altar area. The curtain is now open to the singing of the processional hymn, and the priest and the deacons descend from the altar area. As the curtain opens, it's an appropriate time to contemplate that much of life is outside of our view. This does not imply secrets or intentional cover-ups as much as it signals order. In other words, in our lives, there are systems, workings, and orders that are in place. During the Divine Liturgy, the curtain is drawn and open, the attendants move around in patterns, the incense is offered, the candles are lit, extinguished. Today's meditation is on those orders and systems that are active in our own lives. What are the intentions, what are the purposes of the mechanical movements in our life? During the Divine Liturgy, we are called to work out an order and a system of offering, of prayer, a system of movements that follow a unique beat, which is in sync with the rhythm of the universe. Can we say the same about the patterns of movement and the rhythms in our lives? Tomorrow, we continue the Lenten journey, as the priest descends from the altar area and offers a glimpse of the divine interaction with humanity. Until then, this is Father Voskin, looking forward to being with you as we continue the Lenten journey into the Divine Liturgy.
Thank you for joining us for the Lenten Journey series. We hope you've been blessed by this podcast. These podcasts and all of our work is made possible through your generosity. Please keep us in your prayers, be mindful of the needs of this ministry, and donate generously. Also, please take a moment to tell your friends and loved ones about epostle.net by sending them a link to our website. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. For Father Voskin and the Epostle crew, this is Susie inviting you to join us again next time as we continue our series on the Divine Liturgy.